sometimes the most inspirational, motivational, energizing leaders lose it. They lose the energy, or the group that is following them, it suddenly feels differently around here. Instead of it being exciting and amazing and we're out to conquer the world, it just feels so tactical. How do you keep yourself from doing that, being that leader? Or maybe you're already the tactical one and you need to become more energizing and motivational and where people want to rally behind you. How do you do that? Let's talk about it.
Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Make sure you don't miss an episode. Tap on the follow, plus, or subscribe button, and you'll get two new episodes each week. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.
One of the best leaders that I've ever been around, and he was one of the founders of the firm, the consulting firm that I used to work at. One of the greatest things he did was publish a book. And it wasn't a book for the market, and it wasn't a thick book, and it had more pictures than it had words. It was a glossy kind of tabletop book with almost something like you could print online yourself, maybe from Costco or some other company. And it maybe had, I don't know, 50 pages, but mostly photos with highlights. The book was about what he called ripples. And what he meant by ripples were we had this firm, we had members of our team that were working with organizations all over the world in all kinds of different industries, and we were busy and the company was growing and our impact was expanding. And he wanted us at a company meeting, he wanted us to be focused on, to be reminded of, to be aware of what a huge impact we were having, our team collectively, in each of these organizations. And so he collected those stories. He had his team collect some of them and a few photos with them. So you could see products or locations or restaurants or hospitals or fighter jets or manufacturing plants or people and nonprofits and all kinds of things. You could see who our work was benefiting. And that was profoundly valuable. And it's so interesting because shortly after that book came out, after he did that, and after I felt that great sense of pride as a member of that organization, everything changed. Let me tell you the difference, and let me walk you through where we see in our interaction with different organizations, leaders who are really good at motivating, inspiring, energizing people, and leaders who suck at it. What's the difference between the two? Let's get into that. Welcome into the Culture Hacks Podcast. My name is Russ Hill, and this is my little corner of the internet. It's a place where I get to, it's kind of like my audio journal, where I get to share insights, observations, lessons, unlocks, wisdom that I'm gaining, hopefully, as I am working with senior executive teams of some of the world's biggest companies. In our firm, we get to coach and consult them, and you learn so much, because multiple times a week, you're with different leadership teams at different levels of the org chart and in lots of different industries. And you observe and you listen and you teach and you facilitate and you walk away with all kinds of insights. And this little podcast is a place where I get to share my journey and hoping that it provides some insight for you, some value in your effort to grow, lead, create. If you're interested in those things, you're in the right place. If you want to find out more about our firm, go to lonerockconsulting.com. More about developing leaders, go to leadin30.com. Okay, So after that book about ripples was impacted, how cool is that, by the way, that he did that? And why did he do it? Because he understood that in our exhaustion as a team, and that book was published in a year when I was crisscrossing the globe. I remember the most dramatic example of my level of commitment and exhaustion was being in Washington, D.C. with a hospital system with a colleague of mine, and we were facilitating a meeting with a group that was relatively tough. They weren't at the top of the org chart. They were midway in it, and they weren't fully bought into what the executives were trying to do with the organization. They had tons of skepticism and viewed us as hacks hired to pontificate and spread stuff that was never going to become reality inside their organization. They were skeptical. And so that required a ton. When you have a group in the room that's pessimistic, skeptical, cynical, as a leader, as a member of that team, as anyone that interacts with them at all, it's exhausting. Can you relate to that? Yeah, some of you can right now, unfortunately. And so that was an exhausting day. And so my colleague and I, we got on a plane out of Washington, D.C. after a full day, and we flew to San Francisco all the way across the U.S. What's that take? 4.5 hours, 5 hours of a flight? A direct flight. So we fly all the way to San Francisco, and we have a connection to make. So we left Washington, D.C. at what? Probably 6:30 at night their time. We arrive in San Francisco at what? Probably 7:30 or 8:30 Pacific time, which is now after midnight in the time zone we were in that day. So we're up way late. We get a connecting flight, and we fly from San Francisco all the way to Singapore. What's that flight take? I don't even remember. 10 hours? 12? 9? I don't even know. But a lot of time. And yeah, we had the opportunity. We were in good seats on the plane, and we were able to catch a little bit of sleep. But even when you sleep on a plane, it's not like being in a bed, you all, and you're exhausted and all of that stuff. So we fly all the way to Singapore. We get off the plane in Singapore. It's early, early morning. We're talking like 4 or 5 a.m. Yeah, probably around 5 a.m. Singapore time. And we go through customs. We walk in. I don't know if you've been to the Singapore airport. It's a monstrosity, like 3 or 4 stories. There's literally a shopping mall down below, subway trains that come in and out of it. It's just people from all over the world making connections. It's unbelievable. And like many big airports, there are hotels. There's one in particular located inside the airport, right on kind of the edge of it. And we're going to a meeting that starts like at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. We just landed at 5 or 6. We're going through customs. We literally walk through the airport to the hotel that's connected to the airport. We check in, we put our bags in our room, and we're on stage. We're on stage in front of a division of this international company. And so the room is full of the members of their team who work in Asia. So they're Asians, right? And I don't know how many of you are listening right now in Asia or are from Asia or have done business in Asia, but every part of the world's different, right? There are cultural differences when you're speaking to a group in Europe, London, or wherever that might be, versus France, versus Germany, versus Asia, versus the U.S., versus, you know, Texas, versus Jersey, versus, you know what I mean? So there are differences. And one of the things that you learn quickly in Asia is, broadly speaking, especially in Singapore and Malaysia, is that people there's not a lot of reaction. Where in America, you ask a question and let's say you got a group of 200 or 150 people in the room, leaders, and you're speaking to them, they're going to question you. They're going to ask, you know, they're going to raise their hand and be like, well, what do you mean about that? They process out loud. Americans are just notorious for processing out loud. And we're going to clap when we like something and there's some energy in the room, especially if it's a sales team or a group of highly engaged nurses or whatever it might be. They're going to clap. They're going to ask skeptical questions. They're going to raise their hand. You're going to feed off the energy of that room, positive and negative. There's going to be a ton of emotion and energy in that room. Not in Singapore. How do people in Singapore or the parts of Asia process? Quietly and privately. And in fact, it's often viewed it as disrespectful to raise your hand and ask a question. So we've been up like forever, minus a little nap on a plane, and we land and we're right on stage, this colleague of mine, friend of mine. We get up and there's no energy in the room because that's just the culture. So it's very respectful. So they're taking copious notes on everything we say. We are the experts. Where in America, again, they're like, okay, who's this Yahoo? They come in skeptical. You do something decent. You don't bore them. And they're like, oh, cool, man, whatever. And they're trying to get something out of you. In Asia, it's like, oh, you've been asked a speaker up on the stage. Therefore, you are an expert. We just believe that. And that's a cultural difference. But there's no pushback. You ask a question, hardly anyone raises their hand. You make a joke, there might be some little quiet, a polite golf course type laughter. And so my point was there was no energy in the room to draw upon in our exhaustion. My point in sharing that whole story is that was an extreme example that year, but that was kind of how my year was. That's kind of how the year was for everyone in our firm. We were growing and expanding and amazing how much business we were doing and new leads coming in and new organizations and new stuff coming out, tons of this. And so the leader of our firm, he understood, hey, I've got a team that's coming for this annual meeting of the whole company. We weren't a huge firm. But we were doing business with the world's biggest companies, and it was amazing what we were doing. And so he needed to remind us of the purpose behind it. Hey, why are we doing this? Why are you flying from DC to Singapore and from there to there? And why are we all putting all this into it? What's the purpose behind it? Yeah, there. Hopefully because we're making decent money and our careers are growing and all that kind of stuff. But even more importantly, when it comes to motivating a group, he needed to remind us and reset us on purpose. And he didn't just do it with that book. He would do that continually. And then he left the organization and things changed and it became all about nothing other than financials. Hey, how much have you sold this month? Hey, what company are you working with? Why haven't they signed this agreement in the last 2 weeks? You need to call that person. I need you to do it by Friday, and I'm going to call you 4 times on Friday to figure out why you did it. And there was just incredible demands on the organization, which is not unreasonable, that's the way it goes sometimes. That was the environment we were in because the banks that had invested in purchasing the company, they wanted it to grow quickly and they were holding executives accountable. And when the executives are being held accountable like that, guess who they're going to hold accountable? Because their butt's on the line. So they're checking in with you. What was missing in all of those conversations? In no weekly meeting, in no monthly meeting, in no annual all staff meeting, in calls or text or emails, what was missing in all of that was purpose. Nobody cared about our mission, our purpose, why we were doing the work. And when that disappears, or it's not talked about often, and when the expectations are high, even if they aren't, but especially if they're high, and we're in a demanding environment or a shrinking market or a compressed economy or whatever it might be, or the investors or owners want this and that's really hard, whatever it is, if you as a leader, if I as a leader, if we can't focus our team on purpose, they will not be motivated. People work hard for money. They work harder for a good boss. They work the hardest for a cause. That's true. And you all, you can be making chicken sandwiches, burritos. You can be making some kind of manufacturing supply I remember being in Atlanta, the suburbs of Atlanta, with a company that makes tankless hot water heaters, and us talking about purpose, the impact of those devices on families and homes, and stories were told at a plant about how, why it matters that we're getting the amount of quality and units, quantity and quality of units out of this plant because of who it impacts. And if you aren't telling those stories or money, I've talked about this before, but it's been a while. How many hospitals that I've been in, our team has been over the years to help work on culture or to help with leadership development. How many hospitals we've been in? We've been in a meeting with either all the nurse supervisors or the hospital administrators or senior executives of the system or whatever it is. And the word that you just don't hear an hour into the meeting, 3 hours into the meeting, maybe they'll, after the whole day, the word that was missing from the conversation is patience. And everything that's being talked about is tactical. And it's about us. And so the focus of the team, the focus of the organization becomes internal. We're constantly focused on ourselves rather than an external focus. Amazon's exceptional at this, especially in their heyday. Amazon on a customer obsession. Absolutely. Go back like to one of the first 50 episodes I did where I played comments from Jeff Bezos about customer obsession. That was back when we first started working with Amazon years ago. And I was just blown away when we were in Seattle and in meetings of leaders of Amazon, and I had never seen anything like it. Customer obsession was not something they talked about at Amazon at that time. It was, they were living it. Like every meeting was, they were obsessed over customer experience. I remember being in a meeting with leaders of the returns part of Amazon. We can't talk about because of NDA, but if you knew the amount of money that Amazon was spending just on shipping the return items back to Amazon. So when someone takes it and they're shipping back a return, Amazon pays the shipping, right? They cover the shipping cost of that. Just in the U.S. alone, and this is several years ago, just the amount of money they spent on shipping for items being returned back would blow your mind. Unreal. And in one of the meetings with leaders of that, all they could talk about was, we've got to make this easier. We've got to make it easier. How can we make returns even easier to where a customer doesn't feel any shame, any hesitation to send something back if they don't like it. But they were, I couldn't believe the amount of conversation. Now, if you've returned something to Amazon, walked into a Kohl's or certain locations, you know what that's like. It's totally different than other companies. You go to return something and they're like, what's your problem? Like, they make you feel guilty. Like, you're kind of driving to the retail outlet, preparing your speech. Well, my child was, you know, he put his foot under the lawnmower or he got diagnosed with this. And you're making up this story like something to try to get sympathy, right? And so we just don't really need this stuffed animal anymore because Johnny just might not make it. You know what I mean? I'm exaggerating, obviously, but clearly, but you're making, right? But you can relate to that. You're making up, you feel guilty. Like, and if they buy the story or if they willing to take it and they actually kind of smile, you're like, oh, okay. Amazon didn't do that. Anyway, customer obsession. So back to the point of this episode, my point in talking about this is to have you analyze yourself. Why? Well, actually not why. How often are you talking about the why? And I don't care what industry you're in. I don't care what team you lead. Doesn't matter. Are you speaking to purpose? And I have to, as we, I've talked recently about how we're spending a lot of time on the who part of growing our business. Who do we need? Who do we need to add to the team? Who do we need to be talking to? Who do we need to be interacting with as we go to scale and grow our impact as an organization, as a firm that's just 3 years old since we launched our own, the firm that we own, Lone Rock, right? And I have to remind myself frequently, Russ, don't just talk about, when you say growth and you say grow the organization or scale it, that can sound, people can interpret that as, oh, Russ or the owners of this firm, he and his business partners just want more money. Like we go to worst case scenario, or, oh, they just want to drive revenue. And certainly that's part of any successful person's motivation. You want to be successful or grow an organization, and you hope that it improves your lifestyle or increases your financial compensation or reward for that. But that's not what drives me. And it's not what drives us to grow our firm. What gets me out of bed in the morning is impacting leaders. Nothing is more motivating to me than walking out of a room, headed to the airport, and someone pulls you aside at an organization that we work with, and they pull you aside and they say, oh my gosh, you totally helped me see things differently. You unlocked something for me that I've been struggling with. You helped me see whatever it is. That I could live off that for another week, another month. It's the impact of leaders. And so I have to keep reminding myself, Russ, are you talking about the why? Because that's more inspirational, motivating, energizing than anything else. So the question becomes, what is that statement or two for you? I've been part of, just one last example, and then I'll cut you loose. Even in places where I volunteer. So in, you know, you all know, if you've listened for a while, that I'm spiritual, religious. And so I've had opportunities to along with everyone that's in our religion or goes to the church that I go to, they have an opportunity to serve, right? You give them positions because we have a lay ministry or a lay leadership. So you just kind of take turns. And so in some of these bigger responsibility positions or roles that I've sometimes served in, I've often found myself leading, and we're looking at a calendar. Okay, we got this plan, we got that plan, and we got this, and what do we need to do with this? And oh yeah, are we helping that family? And what does that person need to do? Who are we concerned about? Oh yeah, she's in the hospital, whatever, whatever, whatever. And we're going through tactical. And what I have forgotten often to do in those settings is remind people, why? Why are we doing this? Why are you volunteering and doing this? And what difference are we making? And what's the purpose of all of this? So whether it's a volunteer religious organization, or it's a Fortune 10 company and you're a senior executive, or it's a medium-sized business and you're a mid-level manager and you're leading a team of five, I don't care. This applies to you. The most motivational, energizing leaders that you want to get behind, and you see their teams rallying behind them, is even through the difficulties or challenges that come up, those leaders are constantly focused on, constantly reminding their team of why we're doing it. It's just in them. And when they lose their way, or their teams, better said, when their teams seem to be less engaged, less motivated, they're having challenges with retention. If you go to the meetings, you read through the emails, you log into their different sessions during the day, what you discover, by and large, is nobody is talking about the why. I hope that's helpful. If there's somebody who you think could benefit from hearing what we talked about in this episode, will you just tap on the share button and send them the link, or post it, or DM somebody? I'd appreciate it. Because, as I was saying a few minutes ago, nothing is more rewarding to me than impacting people who are trying to more effectively lead others. I'll talk to you in the next episode of the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Who do you know that could benefit from listening to this episode? Tap on the share button and text the link to a friend or colleague, or write a post on LinkedIn and tag Russ. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.